pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, buddy, we're up and running here this morning, doing all kinds of things to try to give you a better production in the morning, better quality of video, all kinds of stuff going on. We're working hard. You know, I never dreamed when I started this thing back in January of 2016 that we would still be here. How many days, 5 days a week, how many days has it been? It's been pretty remarkable. And I remember starting out that first one, I had the guest, Pete LaBarbera, as a guest. And Mike Heath was running the board there. You know, I come from a little bit of a talk radio background, and so it's really hard to get feedback. But when you're doing talk radio, you get a lot of phone calls, and so sometimes you judge whether or not you're being effective by the phone number of phone calls you get. And then somebody put me off on that and says, Coach, listen, only about 1 in 1,000 people ever call a radio station. Did you know that? If you're listening to Rush Limbaugh, only 1 in 1,000 people would ever even think about picking up a phone and call. And if you're running even a little local show and 10,000 people are listening, that means out of that, maybe only 10 people would ever think about picking up and calling. So this, the demographics, the impact that we're having here is hard to measure because it's just hard to measure. You know, we're checking our views and our listeners and our downloads and all that stuff. And be honest, I don't trust YouTube and don't really trust Facebook, the numbers and all that kind of stuff. But we know this. We continue to hear from a lot of you out there. So we're going to keep our nose to the grindstone. We're going to keep driving our feet like we used to do on that 7-man sled, keep our head up and just keep pushing forward for the cause of Christ. Because you got to admit this, we are goring some oxes here, are we not, man? We're touching some stuff. That's the one thing I hear most from people. Say, man, Coach, wow, I love it when you guys take this on and when you take this on and you've changed my whole perspective. So I got to clarify here again. Don't believe it just because I say it, okay? My purpose is I'm an agitator. And I'm going to ask the questions. I'm going to take us to the Word. I'm going to show some videos. And then you are going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I got my special shirt on today. I'm kind of feeling in that mood. Every knee shall bow. I thought I'd wear this shirt this morning because that's really kind of the way that I'm feeling here. I've been thinking as I've been trying to put together, I want to do I'm giving them fair warning. I've given Right Wing Watch and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the American Civil Liberties Union. I'm all giving them fair warning that I'm going to expose them here in the next few days. I was going to do it this morning, but something popped up that I'm going to address first. And I want you to know that those kingdoms are coming down. Every knee shall bow. The Southern Morris Dees, who's the founder of the the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hey, dude, your knee's going to bow, brother. Your knee's going to bow. Whether it's here or wherever you're going to bow, everybody is. And see, we have in American Christianity, we can say what we want to. We really don't believe that. See, we think that somehow God is so loving in His infinite grace, He's going to just forgive everybody at the end. Now you better know this, that in order for the gospel to have any bite to it, stay with me a second. In order for the gospel to have any bite to it, there must be a system of rewards and punishment. If you can do whatever you want to do and get away with it, then there's no fear of God. There's nothing to be afraid of. And all you have to do is look at our government. The only reason anybody ever obeys the speeding laws is because they're worried about that red light. There's that threat of $250 fine that keeps you in line. The only reason most of you ever pay your income tax, if you had your way, I know you would never pay your income tax. The only reason you do that is why? Fear of the IRS coming knocking on your door. See, where we live our lives every day, all of us, where we live our lives, we are being controlled by, I did a video, I just thought of that video. You serve your fear. You serve your fear. Whatever you are afraid of ultimately has control over you, okay? And it's not God. Now, it is for many of us, it is. All across the spectrum of American Christianity, I'm going to tell you, you walk into a church and you're not going to hear a sermon on the fear of the Lord. You're just not going to hear it. Or if you do hear one on the fear of the Lord, see, our hearts, if our hearts were right, when somebody told me that God was angry with me, you know what ought to flash into my head? It ought to flash into my head that I'm suddenly been discovered as a Christian in the middle of Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia. That fear of life and limb ought to come upon us. And it doesn't. We have lost the fear of God. We don't have it. And as a result of it, because we've taught so much greasy grace in our churches, the average person is not afraid of hell. Now, we can argue about a literal hell or what's going to happen after death or whatever. I know this, that if there is no hell or eternal punishment to flee from, when you get saved from what? If there isn't something you are saved from, if there's not something that you are afraid of that you have to be saved from, then the gospel has lost its bite. And I think that's where we are. What if God is really serious about hands that shed innocent blood? What if he was really serious about that? What if God was really serious if he said, for you to know to do good and you not to do it, to you it is sin? What if he was really serious about that? It's like, don't you all work a little bit harder and a little bit more proficiently when the boss is around? Don't we all? Oh, the big boss is in town today. There's a big boss. Straighten up, the big boss is in town today. Yeah, we're getting our evaluation. Don't you straighten up? Do you understand that you're being evaluated every day? That you're going to stand before the ultimate big boss? And you're going to be judged, every one of us is going to be judged for our deeds done in the flesh? Don't we understand that? We don't understand the gospel of it. Do we understand the sin of disobedience? When Mary said to Jesus at the wedding of Canaan, whatever he says unto you, do it. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Do we hear that? And how have we become so comfortable with sin, especially sin in the church? Oh, I got a little pushback yesterday because I was mean to Paula White. If Christians don't point it out, who's going to point it out? Who's going to point it out? And then I want to throw this out here because this has come up too. Hang on, I'm going somewhere with you. Stay with me. I told you that Donald Trump was not the second coming. And I'm sick and tired of hearing from those of you out there who tell me to stop beating up on Trump. I've told you from the beginning that he was a foot in the door. He was a bouncer at a bar whose job was to do what? Let the church be great again. Let the church be great again. Only Christ can make America great again. And Trump stuck his foot in the door, and we have the opportunity to make the church great, make America great again by making the church great again. And people are worshiping and defending Donald Trump. And be honest with you, that doesn't even enter my mind. Guys, listen. Guys, girls, I don't have any confidence in what Donald Trump can do. I have no confidence in him. But I have confidence in what the Spirit of God can do through him. I have confidence in what the government could do if the church rose up and put pressure on Donald Trump to do the right thing. I've got a lot of confidence in that. I got a lot of confidence if the legislature would raise up and do something. If the church would rise up and force the hand of the legislature. If the church would begin to run an offensive play. I got a great confidence in the church. Stop criticizing me for saying something about Trump. Stop that. Let me say this to you again. It ain't about Donald Trump. It's about you and me and the body of believers. What are we going to do at this point to influence Donald Trump? So stop it. I don't deny that I supported Trump. I told you then I was against Hillary. and that he would be a bouncer at a bar, and he would go in there and he would flip over some tables. And I believe he has done that, but he's going about as far as he can, unless the church rises up, helps him. I don't want to get bogged down on that. Y'all with me on that this morning, guys? We got to make America great again. Not Trump, not Nancy Pelosi, not my dog Mattis, not Mike Pence. Come on, are you kidding me? Do you really believe? What are the odds of you, anybody, being a solid, God-fearing, born-again Christian and rising in politics, getting high in politics? Well, I suppose the odds are that, Roger. I just saw that John Husted wants to run for governor of the state of Ohio. John Husted. Seems like a decent guy. He does. He seems like a decent guy. Young guy. He wants to be governor. I wonder what compromises he's made to even be considered for that. Josh Mandel wants to unseat Sherrod Brown. I hope he does. I wonder what compromises along the way Josh Mandel here in Ohio has had to make to be even considered by the Republican Party to run as governor. Or as the Senate. All right? Huh? See, Dave, listen. Yes.
What we really should be worried about is I don't see any indication of the church rising up.
I don't either.
Great again. And
I do a little bit. I'm going to show you a little bit today. I agree with you, though, Roger. Again, we're sitting back waiting on Trump to be great, huh? And if I criticize. Go ahead.
Our worry should be. What then is God going to do?
Amen. I said all along, God intervened to put Trump in the White House. I don't know whether it's for good or evil. I don't know. Still don't know which one it is. But I know this. See, we want Donald Trump to end abortion when the pastors won't even go to Planned Parenthood. Your local pastor, he won't preach a sermon on it. He won't do anything about it. And they want Trump. They want Trump to end abortion. And the pastors won't do anything about it. And I got in trouble. Well, not in trouble. When I exposed Jim Garlow and those guys worshiping all over Donald Trump in the White House, and those guys weren't there. They weren't there with the prophetic voice, the prophetic voice of God to the president. President Trump, you have got to end the slaughter of unborn babies. You've got to do that, President Trump. Hey, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You got to do that, President Trump. Do you think that was a message from those guys there? I don't think it was. I don't think it was. So again, it ain't about Trump, about us, about the church. What are we going to put up with? So I'm interested in playing a little bit of offense. I'm going to talk about the ACLU, and I'm going to talk about not today unless the Lord moves us into that direction. I got to lay a foundation because I'm on the offensive. I'm on the offense, and get to be on Hagman on Thursday night, 7:30 for a half hour. Talk about offense and our need to play offense. And I'm hearing it more and more. I'm reading it more and more that the church has got to do this and the church has got to do this. But see, the church is made up of individuals. And you have got to stop waiting on your pastor. You got to stop waiting. He ain't going to come. Because he's probably, for the most part, he's sold out. Not purposefully. He's convinced himself that his passive voice, his silence in the face of sin, he's convinced that's the right thing. That's the loving thing to do. And actually, his actions are treasonous. His actions are treasonous to the gospel. His actions, his silence, is treasonous to the king he claims to serve. Jesus said, if you will deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father is in heaven. Now, what does that mean? To deny our Father, does that just mean that we all reach that situation where they put a gun to our head and say, deny the Lord. And say, no, I won't deny the Lord. Bang, you're dead. Okay, you didn't deny the Lord. That's good. Okay. I don't think that's what it's talking about. You ever been in a conversation? You ever overheard a conversation about you that others are having? You ever heard one of those? I've heard several of those about me. That those who I thought were my friends, I was around the corner and I was listening. Not on purpose, but I couldn't help but hear it. And people who I thought were my friends, they denied me. They denied me. I said, what do you mean, coach? Well, somebody asked something about, well, what How about that coach? You know that coach? And he's always out there doing that stuff. What do you know about him? Now I'm waiting for my friend to say, oh, man, that's a man of God there. That dude right there, you say what you want to about him. He's a man of God. What'd my friend say? Well, I know, man. He's a little edgy, but he's got a good heart. See, that's denying me. And it's not about whether he denied me. That's not the point. The point is he had the opportunity to stand up and defend me, and he didn't do it. How many times daily do we do that to Jesus? We have the opportunity to stand up and speak up and defend him, and we do not do it. And he said that if you deny me before a man, I'm going to deny you before my Father's in heaven. And if you continue, I'm sorry, this is all over me. If you continue to wink and nod at sodomy in your church and accept sodomites coming into that church, if you continue to do that, I'm going to tell you something. You're denying the gospel. You're worse than an infidel. That's just what the scripture says. I'm sorry. It's what the scripture says. And if you continue to remain silent as they not only slaughter little babies, but force you to pay for it, to have them then sell the body parts, if you are okay with that, you are denying your Father and him. Do you get that? Somebody help me. Somebody, so they know at least I got one friend out there. Hey, somebody, Ben, please publicly stand up and defend me. Yes, Rich.
You know what they will defend? Their children's bad behavior. They will defend that to the end.
They will. But they won't. It's damning with faint praise. Like I heard a guy say one time, again, overhearing a conversation. Oh, no, that's not true. Secondhand conversation came to me. My name came up in the middle of a gathering, and somebody says, you know, let's crucify the coach here. And so that's crucifying the coach. And so they ask this other guy who casually knew me, and they ask him his opinion. He says, well, I know some things that would probably be better left unsaid. Now, what the hell does that mean? Boy, you talk about damning you, right? Let your mind go wild and crazy on what that might be. Here's what I do know. Despite what they said, Rich, when we were down in Savannah, I rarely embarrass the Lord. I rarely do. You guys hear me? I rarely embarrass him. I defend him and his precepts to the best of my abilities. And unfortunately, a lot of people, truth sounds like hate. They don't know how to handle it. And that's that offensive play rather than the defensive one that we've been taught that go along to get along. I'm sorry, man. That was 18 minutes. I don't know how I got on that. Yes, I do. Because I want to talk to you about running some plays. We have an event. I'm not going to go into the details of it. We have an event in Louisville, Kentucky this weekend. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Governor Matt Bevin, I've told us this before. Governor Matt Bevin, the governor of Kentucky, born-again Christian man. I heard him speak privately, and he could rightly divide the word. He wasn't a phony. I could feel it. I could smell it. He was the real deal, but he's a politician. Governor Matt Bevin, by the way, got elected because of the Kim Davis. The whole thing went on with Kim Davis. That was right at the election time. Matt Bevin pulled an upset victory because he stood with Kim Davis and defended the right of her not to marry two men. That propelled Matt Bevin to an upset victory. He became governor of Kentucky. Well, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I don't know, Matt Bevin ordered the last remaining abortion clinic in Louisville closed. He said, close it, because it was violating health standards. Now, time out a minute. Can you imagine the left if you were violating health standards in regard to smoking in a restaurant? Can you imagine the left if you were violating health standards in regards to driving with your kids not buckled in the car? Can you imagine the left when it came to health standards, when you were having too much smoke come out of your chimney, out of your wood-burning fireplace? Can you imagine the left? Can you imagine the left? Yet in the abortion clinic where they're murdering babies, not only murdering the babies, that's bad enough, but they're murdering the babies inside the abortion clinic, and place isn't clean and it's not meeting governmental standards. The left says, oh, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Matt Bevin comes along and says, we're closing it down because it doesn't meet health standards. And what happens? Yeah. Some puffed up pious punk in a black robe says, nope. That'll destroy the woman's right to choose, her constitutional right. We can't close down that abortion thing. So in other words, some woman wants to have an abortion in Louisville. If they close the clinic down there, she can't drive 3 hours to Indianapolis. She can't go to another. What about some sanctuary cities for the preborn here? How about that? We see that going on. See all the law breaking, all the defying offense again. Okay. All of the defying of the government is coming from the left. Open your eyes, church, and look around. We follow the rules and the left defies the rules. And who is advancing? Is the church advancing, or is the God hater? Are the God haters advancing? Well, we say, what are you talking about? Well, sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities.
Well,
the president
Coach,
says,
Coach, what they're
go ahead.
What they're doing is they're setting the narrative, the pace, and we're trying to catch up. Or that's how. When they're on offense, they're throwing passes down the road, and we're trying to figure out we're still in the 46 defense. We're still
That's
on the
right.
goal line.
That's
we,
right.
We, you know,
That's right.
We're reeling. We're reeling. So we have to retake the initiative and go, you know, that's what you're saying.
Well said, Chad. That is exactly what I'm saying.
They're not only setting the pace, they're setting the course. They're determining where, when, and how, which direction the argument goes.
That's right, Larry. You guys make me proud because you're thinking, you're seeing it, right? You're seeing what's going on. And so Governor Bevin says no more abortions here in Louisville because it violates health standards. Where's the left? I hope that doctor isn't smoking cigarettes as he's killing that baby. Man, if he's blowing secondhand smoke on that little fetus, we got us in serious trouble. No. Federal judge says, no, you can't close it. So what happens? Well, okay. Gee. Governor doesn't mean anything. But yet, out in California, they have whole cities that are defying the federal government. Whole cities. Sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. It's going across all the left is doing it all across America. And what's the right doing? We're sitting here obeying the government. We have not come to the point where we realize that the government is evil. That the government, our government, is in the hand of wicked people, folks. And would God expect us to, Jared, go to Romans 13. Does God expect us to follow unrighteous leadership? Is that what we're supposed to do? What were the name of those trials that they had after World War II? The Hindenburg trials? Nuremberg. I knew Hindenburg was a dirigible. The Nuremberg trials. What did they determine at the Nuremberg trials? They determined this. If you know an order is unrighteous and you follow it, you're guilty. If somebody tells you go murder that guy and you know that that's wrong and you do it, you can't say that my boss told me to do it. That's the mafia. That's the way the mafia works. They hire a guy and goes out and kills some people. Well, my boss told me to do it. So here in America, what do we do? What do we see? We see things that are clearly wrong and we don't do anything about it. And who's we? Well, the moral compass of the nation. See, there is a morality in America. It's just who's going to be spinning that compass. Which direction is that morality going to go? And they've lied to us and they told us that you cannot legislate morality when in fact they've legislated immorality. And they haven't even legislated the immorality. They've done it through judicial tyranny. I'm going to get into that a little bit today. But we are shackled to Romans 13, which Jared's got up there on the screen for us right now. Let's just spend a second here, okay? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Time out. What's the highest power? Would God want you to follow? If God is the highest power, let's make this really simple. You're in your church, and your pastor is the higher power in your church. and you're just a lowly old usher. You're just a lowly old usher. And the pastor comes along to you. He's the higher power. The higher power comes along and says to you, hey, George, listen. When you count that money after the offering, George, hey, listen. Do you stick a little bit of that? I got a little issue that I want to deal with. Could you put a little bit of that cash aside for me? George, do you follow the higher authority? Would you do that? No, you're not going to follow the higher authority, right? You're going to do the right thing. Say, no. In fact, you'd probably look for authority above him that you could report him to, probably. But then maybe not, because then at some point he'd probably convince you, he'd split it with you, and then you'd get a little bit of it too. That's the way corruption works. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. So, Roger, does God ordain evil powers? Are we to believe that God selected evil rulers for us? Hey, dude, if you think that, your brain don't even work. Now, we live in a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Once had Christian values. It doesn't have Christian values anymore. But we tend to sit around and think our government's going to do the right thing. When's the last time you knew an evil guy do the right thing? I'm tired of begging evil men to do good. That's where we're trapped. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. Well, what's the power? Some righteous authority comes to you and tells you not to do it. If you resist that righteous authority, then you resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. See, we're talking about doing the wrong thing, not doing the right thing. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Hey, Rich, is saving a baby, is that good work or bad work? That's a good work. So they're not a terror to those who want to save babies, but they are a terror to those who want to kill babies. Am I missing this, boys? No? Without them, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? What power? Good and evil, heaven and hell. Do that which is good, and you're going to have the praise of the same. What do you mean? Who's the same? Of that higher power. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Oh, wait a minute. For rulers are not a terror to good works. The police officers don't come to the clinic to... Wait a minute. The job of the police officers is to come to the clinic and harass abortion opponents so that women can murder babies. Right? That's good works? Of course not. But it says right on the car, protect and defend, right? For rulers not terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have the praise of the cops. For he's a minister of God to thee for what? For good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Because he bears that sword, and he doesn't bear that sword in vain. Okay? Are you with me? So we're seeing our worlds in it's in disarray because God, the fear of God is gone. There's no authority of God anywhere in our government. And we as church people are sitting around folding our hands while the devil's kids are running wild. And we think we are not involved in this at all. We're praying merely for an evacuation. If I can just get out of there and as long as they just leave me alone. Yes or no? Okay. So Matt Bevin said, no, don't kill baby. We're closing this abortion clinic down here in Louisville. The judge says yes. And now, where's the church? Where's the beef? Where's the church that's going to rise up and say, no. We stand with Governor Bevin. Close that thing down. You federal judge, we don't even know who you are. We don't even know if you got porn under the table. We don't know what's going on. But we ain't going to listen to you. We're going to listen to this guy that we elected. Matt Bevin. He says, close it. We stand with Matt Bevin. Where's the church?
Hey, Dave.
Well, we're going to be there on Saturday. This Saturday, we're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. OJ, some of you out there that are close, we can use you in Louisville this weekend. Yes, Roger.
For the last year, you know, in the huddle, it is clear that much of the teaching, rebuking was done publicly by disciples and others in the Bible publicly.
Right.
And we seem to have caught that as a Hubble group. We understand it. We get it. Some participate more than others. But the mainline church that we oftentimes talk about clearly is missing it. And that's what I don't quite understand. I don't even see it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Once a month, the church does something publicly. I don't see that. You know what I'm saying? Quarterly, the church goes someplace and does something publicly or does some way to affect the community publicly, be it corporately or individually. I just don't see it. And I'm always intrigued and would be interested in your thoughts or others on the huddle. How do they miss it? It has to be on purpose. It has to be purposely missed.
Or it's a delusion. Does anybody have a comment on that?
I think what's happening is they don't want to be labeled in their local areas as haters, because that keeps people away from the pews.
Yeah, and I would say there's no fear of the Lord. Yeah, George.
Coach,
go ahead, George.
Yeah, I think too with prosperity, which no question has come to America over the last number of years, comes with it the desire to go with the path of least resistance, mm-hmm. and not harder right to take the easy
path. So when Jesus said it's harder for a camel to enter in the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, America's full of rich men as compared to the rest of the world. We're all rich men. Poorest guy here is a rich man. And so the stuff that we accumulate has a hold of us, really. If you live in a miserable life, you don't even know where your next meal's coming from. It's probably easier to serve the Lord because you face every day the reality of life and death. See, we face the reality of life and death every day, but we don't realize that we do. We don't get it. See? Robert said, I'll come and fight. God bless you, Rob. I know you would. Here's what I wonder. Yes. Somebody help me. Let's imagine this. Let's imagine that some, what can we pick? Let's imagine some church in Louisville, Kentucky, refused to marry two men. In fact, not only did they refuse to marry two men, they put a sign outside of it that said, homosexuality is sin. And two men went there and they called the press. And how long would it take, do you think, for thousands of people to descend upon that church and shame that church for not being loving? You don't have to answer. 5 minutes, 5 days, they'd have the biggest stinking rally down there you ever saw. But in Louisville, Kentucky, the governor stands up and says, you know what, they're murdering babies there. That's wrong. I'm closing that place down. They're not following the law. Some judge steps in and says, no, that's okay. And by the way, when's that big church rally down in Louisville? Have you seen that one, Sarge? Anybody see that come across the internet, that big church rally? When they ought to be able to get hundreds of thousands of people in downtown Louisville saying, if the church was really serious, they would be out in the streets closing that place down. See, that's running a play. That's running a play. Instead, we sit in front of our TVs and watch the other side run plays. With me? I know you're with me. I know. Robert, I feel your beating heart there, man. I feel it. So there's something going on in Louisville this weekend. I'm going to be there. I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to show you a video here. I'm going to show you why, okay? Oh, this stuff that we're talking about here, guys, it all runs together. I got to tell you something. Courts don't make law. The duly elected governor of the state of Kentucky said this abortion clinic must close. And an unelected federal judge says no. And the church says nothing. Well, but they hate abortion, though. We're going to end abortion. We got to end abortion. Maybe Trump will do it. Maybe Trump will do it. Well, I'd say that finally it looks to me like there's a governor standing up down in Kentucky that maybe we ought to go lift up his arms and say, we're with you, bud. We're with you here. Close that place down. See, the only way that we are weak, come on now. How's marijuana legal in so many states? They just defied the government. They're not listening to the government. Sanctuary cities, how come sanctuary cities are people just defying the government? I'm not going to pay attention to that. How come conservative speakers can't go speak at Berkeley University? University of California, Berkeley, they just ignore it. They just ignore it. And the only one following the law is us. We're the only ones. And see, we're following man's laws. We're ignoring the righteous law. We of all people ought to be following the righteous law that says what? To rescue the woman and infant in her time of need, widows and orphans. That's our righteous law. We ought to be following the righteous law, not the governmental law. But see, following that righteous law is going to cause us some trouble. I want to play this for you. My screen went dark on me here. My buddy, Pastor Matt Tuella. I think you got it, Jared. I'm trying to get it to pop up here on my screen. This is about a 6-minute video. Here it comes. I got so much stuff to share with you. Let me hang on a second, Jared. I got two videos. How much time do I have? Oh, yeah. Okay. I got two videos. Can I show you another play that's being run? Jared, go to my Facebook page. Let's go there first. I'm sorry. Yeah, Jim says, right. We got to stop making excuses for the organized church. We got to stop making excuses for that thing on the corner that you call church. Stop making excuses. There's no godly leadership. That's what Jim says. I'm just yelling it for Jim. There's no godly leadership anywhere. Okay, now look. Here's a play. A play is being run in Oklahoma. We got a play being run in Kentucky. We got a play being run in Oklahoma. Are you kidding me? Yeah, yeah. Hey, boys, where's the church? Where's the beef? This is about 6 minutes. Look what's going on in Oklahoma. They just passed a legislative act that says abortion be murder. It just passed in the legislature. At what point is the church going to stand up and say, yep, yeah, amen, it is. We're going to wait for some terrorist in a black robe to strike it down. Go ahead and play this, Jared.
The House of Representatives passed House Resolution 1004, which directs public officials to do everything in their power to prohibit the murder of unborn children by abortion in the state.
What the resolution does is it calls upon the governor, the attorney general, those that are empowered by the U.S. Constitution and our state constitution to enforce the law.
The resolution also instructs state judges and Supreme Court justices not to interfere with the state's right to clarify Oklahoma criminal laws regarding abortion.
What has happened is that the Supreme Court is in conflict to our founding documents. Really, what this resolution does is it establishes something that we've known, but which very few states have been willing to stand up and say, that the states are in agreement with the Constitution and the Declaration, and the Supreme Court
Amen.
Is in violation of the very documents
yes.
that they are sworn to uphold and
let Trump
and
do
protect.
It.
Although
let
there
Trump
was no debate
it.
On the floor, opponents of the resolution have argued that it is a waste of time in the middle of a budget crisis. Resolution
yeah,
supporters
money.
Say that it is a historic move.
This signifies a shift in the way we're going to go about doing away with the murder of innocent children. We heard talking points today from the House floor in Oklahoma that have never been said in 44 years. From the House floor, we heard a representative of the people of Oklahoma say that abortion is the murder of innocent children and that it must
Amen.
Stop immediately.
What do we think it is?
Pretty positive reception, and I think you saw that on the floor today. I think the key is the House of Representatives spoke loud and clear. I think they're with the majority of the state of Oklahoma, frankly. But they're
quit being
the
afraid
of
the
right.
judges.
The wonderful thing about what happened today is the people of Oklahoma, through their elected representatives in the House of Representatives, the people's house, said
yeah.
abortion is murder.
We talked to some supporters about what
the next steps
will be now that this resolution has passed.
And obviously it's a statement, but we hope more and more states will say this. This is a similar tack that other states have taken with other federalized
They're waiting
issues.
On the pastors!
You see an argument on the left with legalization of marijuana. That's still federally legal, but states are doing it and they're finding ways to do it. And that's the next step.
The people of Oklahoma have spoken through their representatives. They want abortion stopped now. We're going to go get a governor who will do just that.
In 2018, let Trump do it.
We're going to have a new governor. And the governor better enforce the will of the people as expressed in this resolution today. And it's also the job of the people to speak even more loudly than they did today.
Wow.
The people need to stop letting someone else do their work for them. In 1973, when abortion was forced on the land, the murder of the unborn was forced on the land, our churches across our land should have risen up and said no. Our churches should
let Trump do it.
Marching on Washington, D.C.
Mike Pence, let him do it.
That the Constitution says that we can... That
we don't care about unborn babies.
With grievances. We should,
tell the truth.
Should have risen
we don't
up
care.
And said, no, we don't accept this.
We I'm don't care.
That this will encourage the churches, it will encourage our legislators to do the right thing. That's more than anything else will turn the tide.
Encourage them to do
the
right thing.
Lawmakers and executives will follow up this resolution with action remains to be seen. But we did
sure does. Waiting on the church.
Shift away from regulating abortion as health care and toward seeking its abolition as murder.
Okay. You get it, man? Do you get it? Can you see how weak we are? Now, I made a mistake. It wasn't a legislative action. It was a, what do they call it? A statement, a resolution. It doesn't have the power of the law. But they're waiting for the people. They're waiting for the church to rise up and say, yes, yes, abortion's murder. No more abortion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, they going to hear it? They going to hear from them? See, that's why in my mind, this connects to what's going on in Kentucky. Because it's the exact same situation in Kentucky, although it wasn't a resolution by the governor. It was an order, a lawful order, close that place down. Now, we're going to have to ask ourselves, does some terrorist in a black robe somewhere 150 miles away have the right to determine what goes on in the state of Kentucky, or do the people of Kentucky get to make that affirmation? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Boy, the homos would be in the street, wouldn't they? Oh, they'd be in the street. Hey, Rich, we went to that million lesbian march. We saw the face of the opponents. Where's our team? Where's our team? Right now in Louisville, Kentucky, where are they? Oh, they're in their church praying. Obey the law, brothers. Don't break the law. Wait a minute. Are they murdering babies? Are they breaking the law? Huh? Yeah, I think they're breaking the law. A higher law.
Coach?
I'm feeling this morning. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, if you remember when we were down in Texas in February, Texas already has laws on the books that killing an unborn baby any stage is murder.
Come on, man.
Laws on the books of punishment for murder.
That's right.
The only thing is Representative Tenderholtz tried to introduce a law that says you've got to enforce the law, and it got nowhere.
Well, who are they waiting on, Larry? Well, we know who they're waiting on, but they ain't coming. They ain't coming.
The
Christians don't care. They don't care about the murder of little babies. Can we all just say that? They don't care. Don't bother me with it, all right? Now, don't do anything to a puppy. Oh, geez, you cribbity. Or a kitten or a possum walking across the street. Oh, my goodness. Hit your brakes for a squirrel. Yeah, Lord help us. Okay, I got a heart touching video for you here. Oh, Matt Tuella, Jared. Pastor Matt Tuella, buddy of mine out of Milwaukee. Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. We've talked about that before. Matt had an event in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago. I lose track of time. They went out and stood up for the unborn. And I want you to hear this talk given by Matt. Hey, Jared, the first about minute of this thing, I think, is his son-in-law introducing him. So let's go past that. Okay. Here's Pastor Matt. Hey, by the way, we'll say that again. Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt. He has a church with people who go to the streets with him. He leads them to the streets. But I want you to listen to what he has to say about tyrannical government. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
I consider this a holy convocation. You're standing on the very ground where the jail was. You understand that? This is the very where the courthouse was. That's the church that was being built that they got the beam from to break the jail door down with. So this is a great gathering here today, and I'm honored to speak here. And I thank God that I'm here as a part of this. Because this bloodshed needs to be brought to an end in our nation. It's an honor to stand where men stood against injustice 150 plus years ago and call upon men in our day to do the same. Amen. Today in America, most people think that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of everything that is constitutional or unconstitutional. I'm here to tell you it's a bald-faced lie. Our founders viewed it as something quite the opposite of what the lawyers have proffered for themselves in this country. This idea that they're the final arbiter. Truth is, our founders viewed the judiciary not as the strongest, nor did they view them as the final arbiter. Rather, the founders stated that the judiciary is supposed to be the most helpless, the most harmless, the weakest, the least dangerous to the Constitution. And of course, all that's been turned on its head now. Now all the other branches bow down to the judiciary and act as though we should stand by while babies are being butchered just because the Supreme Court said so, denying their duty. If that's the case, America has thrown off a monarchy and replaced it with an oligarchy. We now have social transformation without representation. Jefferson warned of it 200 years ago when he saw the judiciary begin their walk of despotism. He said to an early judicial supremacist, Jefferson said, "You seem to consider the judges as the final arbiters of all constitutional questions, a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy." He went on to state, "The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that to whatever hands confided with the corruptions of time and party, its members would become despots." And that is what the Supreme Court is in the United States. They are despots, and they are not the final arbiters. As Jefferson stated, the Constitution has erected no such single tribunal. Now men will forbear, and so we should, but there comes a point where forbearance becomes sin. There comes a point where forbearance becomes cowardice. There comes a point when men realize that we no longer have the convenience of acting indifferent towards the unjust and immoral actions of our government. And I submit to you that the lawlessness of the judiciary should not be forborne. I submit to you that the murder of the preborn should not be forborne. The men of 1859 were different than the men of our day. In our day, every governor bows down and bends over to the judiciary as they intermeddle with every aspect of our internal policy in states. They accommodate murder, they accommodate the perversion of marriage, and they'll accommodate boys in the girls' shower rooms too. But the men of 1859 were of a different caliber. The legislators and the Supreme Court justices of our state of 1859 understood their duty. They confronted the federal tyrant, the beast that it was and that it is, and reminded him that his authority has limits. Yes. And the duty of our state officials in our day is no different. Their duty is not to accommodate or bow down, but interpose through the preborn.
Amen.
The men of 1859 not only declared in the resolution that the unjust and immoral Federal Fugitive Slave Act was without authority, void, and of no force in the state of Wisconsin, but they openly checked the federal tyranny by stating resolved that the government formed by the Constitution of the United States was not the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself, but that as in all other cases of compact, and that is what the Constitution is, a compact of the states, the federal government, among parties having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself. Come And that is what our state magistrate should do. They should see that this ruling of Roe v. Wade regarding the Supreme Court is not right according to the Constitution, and they should uphold their oath that they took for the Constitution and defy the federal judiciary. The Supreme Court is the tyrant. They are lawless. We are under the despotism of an oligarchy, and this lawless authoritarianism of the federal courts must be broken, and it will only be broken by the interposition of the state magistrates. May God help us. May the Lord help our magistrates. May God help us to demand of our magistrates that they do right, and that we rally with them when they do. May Christ our Lord be praised in the earth. God bless you.
That make me run through a wall. I'm ready to run through a wall. We got sanctuary cities for, you name it, man. Sanctuary cities for the Mexicans. Sanctuary cities for the Muslim sanctuaries. How about a sanctuary city? How about a sanctuary state for the preborn? How about one of those? How about we find a state in America that says, no, that doesn't apply here. No, you're not going to kill babies here. No. No, that doesn't apply to us. When's that going to happen? Why is it that the only time it appears the federal government wants to squash its authority is when it comes to rescuing unborn children? Or, dare I say it, anything that has to do with righteousness, they're against. Why? Because when you think you're God, you hate the competition, see? So we're birthed onto a battlefield, boys and girls. You can go to your church. Your pastor can tell you you're on a love boat. You can believe that if you want to. I'm telling you, it's a battleship. Battleship America, that's where we are. It's where we are. I'm going to tell you this. 600,000 men died over the issue of slavery. It took the death of 600,000 men to bring slavery to an end. And why is it, I wonder? What was wrong with those pastors down there in the South? Weren't they telling the boys to obey the government? Isn't that what they were telling them to do? Obey the government? No, I don't think so. Why? Because right is right and wrong is wrong. When one of your authorities over the top of you is asking you to do something or to permit something that is wrong, you are duty bound to say no. To obey God and not men. What do you think that means? And for the sake of our children and grandchildren, how long are we going to continue to permit this tyranny to fall upon the shoulders of our children and grandchildren? How long? How long? It's our turn now. In my humble, not so humble opinion, it's our turn now. We could play that song, Jared, but they would probably take us down. I think it's Stephen Curtis Chapman, whatever his name is, says, it's my turn now. You know that one? It's my turn now. It's my turn to give my life away. It's my turn now. And I'm not talking about laying down my life, although if that happens, that happens. But it's certainly my turn. The guys that stormed Omaha Beach, if it was their turn, they laid it down. The guys in Civil War, if it was their turn, they laid it down. Guys in Vietnam, it was their turn. They laid their lives down. My turn now. My turn now. My turn to give my life away. My turn. We love ourselves too much, though, see? World's got too many claws inside of it. Got a hook on us. Sitting around yesterday, a couple days ago, posted it on Facebook, sitting in my easy chair, reading a book to my two youngest grandchildren. No, not true. two of my grandchildren, not youngest. Whoever wants to give that up? But 25 years from now, when those little kids are 25 years old, it'll be good that they have memories of sitting in a chair and Grampy reading them a book. That'll be good memories. But what if they have a noose around their neck? And I said, I spent my time in comfort, wasting out, living out my final days just to pleasure just poor old me. Watching Paula White talk about watching some porn to excite my wife. I don't know if you can rescue me here this morning or not. I'm just telling you the truth, boys. Just telling you the truth. Trump ain't going to make America great again. Can I tell you something else? Neither's your pastor. So the question becomes, what's that have to do with you? Does that have to do with you? Me. Wow, what a time to be alive. I got so much stuff. I got so much stuff. I'll make connections with you tomorrow. Go ahead, George.
Coach, yeah, maybe the pastor can't make us great again, but he should be a leader that does a call to arms that activates the being us, right?
George, would you agree there ought to be 50,000 people standing out in front of that abortion clinic in Louisville? George, they could get 50,000 just locally. I mean, there's a lot of big churches. This is the buckle of the Bible Belt. There's churches everywhere. Come on here. This isn't even hard. It isn't even hard. We won't fight this fight. We won't fight this fight for the unborn. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there ain't going to be anybody fighting for you when they come for you. They'll be hunkering down the same way. Jim Kraft says he's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Well, the 501c3 got lifted, right? Let's see if all those pastors can stream it out into the streets down to Louisville on this weekend. Come on, I got a silent crew here. Got a couple, 3 minutes left. Somebody rescue me. Rescue this show. Hey, it's been a good show. Don't you miss tomorrow. Because I'm going to connect some more dots to you. We have an opportunity, man. We have an opportunity right now to make a difference. Knowing the truth, Robert said, is going to set us free. Knowing the truth. I know the truth. I know it. I know him. You're going to set us free. Hey, don't forget August. No, I'm sorry, August. May 19, 2021, Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli coming to town. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Still time to come. You can sign up online if you want to. Listen, if you just plan on showing up at the door, I guess that's okay too, but it's better if we're able to plan, right? We have an idea how much, like food, all that kind of stuff. We're not going to feed you breakfast, but when you come on Saturday, food's going to be there. You don't have to leave, or we'll do a lunch there. We'll do a dinner there. We'll do some spiritual eating while we're there. Sunday, we're going to go to the Newark, Ohio Earthworks. Put that back up there, Jared, if you can. And L.A. Marzulli and Russ are going to explain to us the evil spiritual significance of the Newark, Ohio Earthworks and these mounds that are all across. It wasn't Hopewell Indians. These mounds are all across the Midwest. Ohio is peppered with them. I live right inside of a triangle of them. That for years they've told us we're just Indians. Just Indians. Yeah, they were. Big old Indians. Way I see it. May 19, 20, and then the 21st Sunday morning, we're going to go right there to the Newark, Ohio Earthworks. And Russ and L.A. are going to, we're going to have a service there, and they're going to explain to us what's going on and understand the significance. Had a guy email me the other day, and it's very good. I want you to think about this, folks. He said, listen, you better be careful at those earthworks. So that's the devil's territory. You better be careful when you go there. See, this ain't like going to the zoo. This ain't going up on some mountain and looking at the scenery. We're going to be sticking our toe in some water that has deep spiritual significance. Hope you'd come and join us. Meet a lot of like-minded people, like-hearted people. People who love Jesus and are sick and tired of being lied to and want to know, they just want to know the truth. Because the truth, if they know it, going to set them free. Don't miss tomorrow, man. We're going after the ACLU. We're going after Southern Poverty Law Center. We're going after all those God haters. We're going to expose them tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.